Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Sunday, December 31st, the first Sunday after Christmas. Deacon John Reichard challenges us in his sermon today to think about these questions. 1. How do you tell someone you love them? 2. Who is the fullest expression of God's love? 3. Will you try to keep Deacon John's proposed resolutions for 2024?
Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, I have something very important to tell you. It is something that I learned many years ago in Sunday school. If you also know it, please say it or sing it along with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, indeed. Always kibitzing. You know, what do you do with a priest who just keeps interrupting? I'm trying to keep a train of thought going here, and he's singing songs. It's just amazing. It's amazing. But thank you for that. Thank you. I would have sung more, but I have such a terrible singing voice that Chuck would have come over and swatted me, probably. I would have deserved it. But there are many ways to tell someone that we love them. In one of the most quoted love sonnets, Elizabeth Barrett Browning expresses it this way: "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall love thee more and better after death. E.E. Cummings, a 20th century poet, said in another love sonnet, I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, my dear, and whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. And William Shakespeare said it in many different ways and many different times in his plays and poems. But in Romeo and Juliet, he sums it this way. My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is deep, the more I give to thee. The more I have, for both are infinite. We see love described in beautiful sculptures, such as The Kiss by Auguste Rodin, and in many paintings, such as Dance in the Country by Renoir, The Honeysuckle Bower by Rubens. We hear love described in countless ways in music and songs. For our generation, Maybe I'm Amazed by Paul McCartney, Dream a Little Dream of Me by the Mamas and Papas. One of my favorite contemporary lyrics is by John Legend in his song, All of Me, in which he says, 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges and all your perfect imperfections. Oh, yes. So how would you tell someone you love them? Well, Catherine and I have this little thing that we do. When one of us does something unexpectedly nice for the other, it's normally Catherine doing it for me, the recipient will say, you're the best. And in response, the other person says, no, you're the best. And then together we say, together, we're the best. I know it's corny, but I'm from Iowa. So corny is good, right? Corny is good. Today's passage from the Gospel of John, it's John's prologue, describes how much God loves us. It's a little difficult. It's old language written for a particular Greek audience. But he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being through him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Did you hear it? Did it come clear? Did you hear the depth of God's love for us? Yes, the language is difficult. It's rigid. But the message is strong. Let me try to rephrase it. If presented as my admittedly unprofessional love sonnet, God's message may be expressed like this. I have loved you from the beginning of time. Together, my son and I created everything out of love for you. There is nothing good that my son and I would not create for you. My son and I love you so much that my son became human flesh like you and lived around you to show you my heart. And my son, who is like me, has made my heart known to you, my beloved, so that you may know my love for you. My sincere apologies to real poets, But hopefully you get the idea. And I think that's a fair representation of what John was saying 2,000 years ago to the Hellenistic world, to the Greeks that were rapidly coming into the church. One of John's primary goals was to shape his gospel to justify the Christian faith to the many thousands of Hellenistic Greeks that were becoming the main part of the Christian church, 30, 40, 60 years after Jesus' death. John used language familiar to and comfortable for the intellectuals, for the Hellenistic audience. He used the word. The Greek would have been logos, which had a double meaning of word and mind. John spoke to that mind. He spoke to the need for philosophy of his audience. And the Gospel of John was the last of the four Gospels to be written, probably in the 90s, maybe up to 100 AD. The other Gospels were written 20 or more years earlier. And by the time John was written, the church was confronted with a very basic problem. It had begun in Judaism with all Jewish members, and Jesus was a devout Jew. But it soon went out into the wider world. Within 30 years of Jesus' death, it had traveled all over Asia Minor and Greece, all the way to Rome. By then, there were tens of thousands of Greeks in the church for every Jew who was a Christian. Jewish customs and traditions were not important to these new members. In fact, those same customs and traditions made the church's teachings difficult for most of these Greeks to understand. They didn't care about ancient genealogy or messianic stories. They wanted to know, what kind of God is Jesus? John's words, his theology, connected the union of God and Christ, bound them together. From the beginning, John said, Christ and God were one, even before creation. Together they created everything, beginning with separating light from darkness. Darkness, which is often described as the absence of God's love, cannot overcome the light. John told his listeners Jesus was the Word that became human flesh while retaining his divinity. In other words, Jesus was God. He was the living God revealing reason, wisdom, and love to humankind. Jesus the Son came to show what God looked like in human form, how God acts, how God thinks, and how God loves. This we call incarnation. God was born human, but he was God. This is a remarkable act of love, becoming human, isn't it? Subjecting himself to all the world would throw at him, to reveal his heart to us, to show us how to live and how to love, and to show us that love can lead to sacrifice, can lead to suffering, can lead to death. That is powerful love. This type of love is with us all the time. It fills us without our always knowing it. It is an energy that has been part and parcel of living things since the beginning. It is in our very being, pulsing through our body and our soul, willing us to love as God loves. So what does God's heart look like? All we must do is look at the life of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, we are told Jesus began his ministry at his home synagogue in Nazareth, where he opened the scroll and read from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Then Jesus rolled the scroll back up, put it in its proper place, and said to his audience, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he brings great news to the poor. He liberates people from the unnecessary laws that keep them from seeing and knowing God. He cures physical and spiritual blindness so people can see the light. And he will free people from all their bondage. That's God's love. And shortly after this time that we hear in this passage, Jesus went to the Mount of Beatitudes to deliver what we call the Sermon on the Mount. His teachings on the Beatitudes give us the signs of God's kingdom, what it is like to be in God's family, living out a life of love in harmony with God and Son Jesus. The kingdom of God is now, Jesus says. It's not just a place in the future. It's not just a hope. It's not just a dream. If we live our life this way, the kingdom is now. So what does God want for us? Well, listen to God's words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom brought by Jesus. When we combine the teachings of Jesus with his many acts of healing, his acts of forgiveness, for example, Peter's three denials and of those who crucified him, his command over demons, we see the heart of God. Jesus is the fullest expression of God's love. And John tells us that those who accept Jesus become children of God. And St. Paul, in today's reading from Galatians, tells us the same thing. In St. Paul's words, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. God loves us that much. God wants to be our Father, just as he is the Father of Jesus Christ. We are God's children. That is our gift from a God who loves us. How does God tell someone he loves them? He calls us sons and daughters. We are heirs to the kingdom. We are God's family. So this then leads to a question. How can we return God's love for us to God? How can we show our love of God? Well, I have an idea. Tomorrow is New Year's Day. It's a day that many people write resolutions. They vow to keep these resolutions. Some make it a day, some two, a week, maybe a month. But I suggest 8 resolutions. Yes, 8. 8. Each one is based on one of the 8 Beatitudes. So here are my proposed New Year's resolutions for each of us. 1, be poor in spirit. Recognize your dependence on God. 2, take time to mourn. Yes, the loss of a loved one is occasion for mourning, but this is not that type of mourning. This is mourning our sins. Those times we have not done what we should have done, and those times we did something we should not have done. Confess and ask forgiveness for those times. 3, be meek, not haughty, not prideful. Acknowledge the feelings of others. 4, seek the will of God. Spend time with God in prayer and scripture. 5, show mercy. Look for people who are in need or are suffering and assist them. 6, seek a clean heart. Ask Jesus to clear your heart of those things that keep you from following God's will. 7, be at peace. Take time to calm yourself with Jesus in prayer. 8, be firm in your faith. Learn more about your faith so you can respond to questions and challenges. That's it. You're done. And then at the end of the year, let's see how we as a community have done and how we as individuals have done. Let's see how we have reflected God's love throughout the year. We will describe our love for God by our actions and our deeds. Words will not be necessary. Good luck. Oh, and by the way, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen.